people in 6 sided Willymore. Hundreds of them come in after. Before that, was playing in the whole town of Fairbanks, started right on that Chena River. Chena was a gold bigger, but it was a fair trade. It was a little too far away.
Yeah.
It was about 25 miles, but Fairbanks was just that much closer.
Close.
That gave Fairbanks the advantage of making it Fairbanks. There wasn't no buildings there, and I didn't know which way to.
You know one other reason, Ben, they stayed there? Because there was a sawmill at Fairbanks.
Nothing when I went there.
1903, there was a sawmill.
A roadhouse, and it was a log roadhouse, and they needed some more building on it, and they hired me for to put some more logs and build it further. No, if you don't know, I helped to build that old log roadhouse to join what he had there, and it made quite a big place. And the people filled it, you know, bunks were put in there, built bunks, you know, and it all over, and had an upstairs floor, and by sawed lumber. Of course, I didn't saw the lumber, there were people who put saw on them for
whipsaw, yeah.
And getting $15 a day for it. But there's old Morrison, he had his name, and he had started the roadhouse in that Red Fairbanks. But down in Chena, they started to build a little town there, and then. And it didn't last, of course. It had died down because it was too far away from the creeks. I was there at the Chena town, but I went on up to Fairbanks and I've got plenty of work to do because of being a carpenter. We started to build the roadhouse bigger and everybody was coming and fast again. They didn't get even the roadhouse, the tents all over.
Who owned the roadhouse?
Morrison.
Morrison?
Morrison, I'm O. R-I-S or something like that. His name is Morrison, and I told him I didn't know him from Morrison. But he was the first that built the roadhouse there.
Did you know Cap Barnett?
Huh?
Did you know Captain Barnett?
Did I? My gosh, yes. I even repaired his steamboat, and I know him well. He was a fine fellow, you know, with me. And he had the first boat in there. He had the river boat, and he had the he was running a trading post, but he didn't have any bigger shack than this is. A log building, and his boat was tied up for the winter, right at the Chena Slough. That's as far as he could get up the Chena Slough.
What was the matter with it?
And that was what caused Fairbanks right there.
What was the matter with Barnett's steamer?
The steamer, he got up and then tied it up there, and that's as far as he could get up the Chena Slough.
Yeah.
He couldn't get any
low water, but what? Was there anything wrong
water,
with
it? Yes.
Something wrong with his steamer?
And they figured on a trading post for, for trade with the Indians. Mm-hmm. And that made Fairbanks.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I was there when his steamer was. His steamer
you
got up there,
that,
you know.
Right.
Yeah. Captain Barnett had a steamboat, but not very big one. It was pretty. And I think he was shoving a scow in front of it, you know, to trade. He was only trading with the Indians.
Just with the Indians?
That's all. He was only trading with the Indians. And then his, I don't know, his wife wouldn't believe me until a short time afterwards. He had a fine wife, and she came in, and after they got to Fairbanks, that's as far as he could get with his boat.
Were there lots of Indians around then?
Huh?
Were there lots of Indians around Fairbanks?
Indians?
Yes.
Oh, not very many that lived in it, but most of them hardly came down to his trading post and he bought them. I didn't even see so many. But there was lots of Indians like they are anywhere now. But they were up and down the river, you know, different ones.
All the time.
Soon as ever they know where there's a.
That's a golf
word. I came in so early that there was nothing in Fairbanks, not a building, only Barnett's trading post. And he had built a cabin, maybe a little bigger than this, a log. And the rest of the whole thing was bush. Timber rolled up there too. A couple of feet, big tall trees.
Well, Ben, did you spend the winter down?
But they didn't take Fairbanks to be Fairbanks. They started to build it down a chimney about 12 miles below on the Tamino River.
Did you spend the winter then in Fairbanks, that first winter?
Did I
spend the winter, the rest of the winter there?
Well, yes, I got work right away when the town started. I had all the work I could do. I was getting $15 a day and living fine. And then the town started to grow, and there was gambling houses and saloons and everything else went up in no time. And I was always in been a carpenter, you know. I had to build harbors, finish them up and everything else.
Ben, it wasn't too long after you were in Fairbanks, so didn't you become a teamster? Seems to me you went, you got some horses, or a horse or two, pretty soon.
Yes, I've had horses and teams, and my brother and I
had horses. You started there in Fairbanks, didn't you?
Yes, we...
Was that that same winter or a year?
Oh, yes. I was born on a farm. I ought to know how to run horses and everything. And I had one myself. I had I had a nice little horse that somebody brought Tim Dawson. And you know, that same little horse was a beauty. And I couldn't think where I'd owe the horse somewhere, and I couldn't place it. And you know where it come from. It's come from Kamloops in British Columbia, where I was at an agriculture fair, and that was the prettiest little thing you've ever seen. I bought it.
Is that right?
And I bought it, and I had it for years. Oh, it was Danny. Not a great big horse, just a medium-sized horse.
Ben, how long did you stay?
It's won all the races, and I just spotted that house because I was in Kamloops on an exhibition occasion. When I was then, I was a car repairer for the work train, and the exhibition at Kamloops in British Columbia came off, and I had time to go to see it. And that horse won the race, and I put that horse, you know, by God.
Made money for you.
You wouldn't believe it, you know. I had a good eye for a horse because I was raised on the farm.
No, you, sweetie.
And if I didn't know that horse when it came to Fairbanks, whoever got there, I bought
it.
Oh, it was a dandy. Well,
how long were you?
A chunky thing, you know, not too big, you know, really, but he was a...
Well, did you bring him to Fairbanks?
That's where he was in Fairbanks.
Oh, I thought he bought it.
Somebody brought it into Fairbanks on the stampede.
From Dawson.
Yes. And I bought it.
How long was he in Fairbanks?
How long, how long were you there?
I had the horse... The creeks was all mining all over, Cherry Creek and Dover were all gone. And I had to let the people have it, you know, but they pay me for it. But some had to have a pack taken over to Cherry Creek. And they went across the hills and they got down in the, where they were building up the town a little bit in Cherry Creek. The snake was down here and it started festering. And I had to shoot him.
Uh-oh, too bad.
Yeah, that was an old dandy.
Did you know Shorty Wallace?
Shorty?
Wallace? The stage driver?
Wallace.
Shorty Wallace. He was a stage driver. Oh, you... And then Shorty
I
was...
I know him.
He was with the road commission for years.
I know him, yeah. But I almost forgot him.
Well, Shorty was...
Shorty Wallace.
He was a teamster for years.
I just can't
How long were you in Fairbanks, during this time, during that period?
Well, there was no Fairbanks there when I came.
No, but I mean, how long did you stay? You were there and then Fairbanks started growing up and you were working on your horse
I didn't know whether it was going to be a town or anything else observed there, but we all had tents, you know. I sold my tent up on the bank, and everybody else was all over tents. And it was 10 miles beyond upstream from Chino that started to build the town there. But Chino was too far away from where Clare Creek and Fairbanks Creek was too quick to suck to pay first, and it was 30 miles from Chino. To go over the trail, way over to Fairbanks Creek and up Petro Creek. That was a long distance. It took Barnett's trading post to make the town of Fairbanks, and he had a steamboat that he was couldn't get up the Chena River any further on a trading steamer.
Did you know Falcon Jocelyn, the man that had built the railroad? Falcon Jocelyn?
No, oh, you're getting
Falcon Jocelyn?
Yes.
Did I know him? I sure did. I know him better than anybody. Known him well. He was a fine man. It was all for the business and promoting. Falcon Jocelyn. He was on Fairbanks, and Fairbanks was quite a town. Everybody knew Fulton Johnson in the early days, but they don't know him now.
No. Ben, when did you leave Fairbanks? I mean, got away from Fairbanks.
When I got away from Fairbanks, I never left Fairbanks.
Well, no, I know you haven't. You're still there, but I mean, it wasn't like when you were there first. You were there the year round and all that.
I'll tell you.
And where did you go from there first? Did you come to Livengood?
Fairbanks. Why, no, I was over on Bolt Creek. I was prospecting. I said,
Bolt Creek?
Yes, Bolt Creek. Mm-hmm. I was over on Bolt Creek a couple of years and more, and I didn't find anything over there. I didn't get in on the stakes at all.
You didn't hit anything
everything
in that area?
Everything was on stakes, and I was hunting for a claim or two. That's the way I got it. I didn't get in on anything else. But I did go over to Dome Creek when they struck the big pay big claims that it was all staked down there. And they started a strike on Dome Creek, and I can't remember just what year that was in. But I thought I'd go over there because it started to be a little town there. And being a carpenter, of course, I was only looking for the money I could earn when I needed money, and then go back to prospecting. I was prospecting Bald Creek before they struck a pay on Dome Creek. Dome Creek is quite a deep creek, you know.
You must have worked there at old Dome City then. That was the town
they
built.
Yes, I was there before they built Soul City.
We mined just above that, two claims.
Number seven.
On Vault?
On Dome.
On Dome.
And I didn't know much about money, didn't know much of anything in money. But I didn't take care of it, so other people located the ground. I didn't get that one. But I didn't miss out on Bald Creek. I got the same on Bald Creek, and it didn't turn out anything.
Did you know Vernetti on Vault?
Spaghetti?
Vernetti? Vernetti on
Dome. Oh, Vernetti.
Yes.
He was a freighter. He was mostly a freighter, never was miner. Vernetti.
No, they went mining too, Ben.
Vernetti?
Yeah. Later it was so, it was quite
oh,
late.
Maybe he was interested, but he was
Lord,
really a freighter.
I think it was Vernetti.
Was it Sproni?
He was an Italian.
Sproni was an Italian.
He was an Italian.
Yes, right.
He was
a friend of Pedro.
He was a fine man.
Did you know Felix Pedro?
Oh, yes, yes. He was an Italian like Pedro was.
Right.
But he was more or less of a freighter and had horses, you know.
I think he did.
I had the first horse in Fairbanks, and that was before there was any pay found. It would be 1903, I guess. I'm forgetting all my. That's the summer of 19. I came in summer of 1903.
I came up to Fairbanks actually after on the ice, Ben. That had to be in the winter.
Well, I come up to Tanna. I come up Tanna River Ice from Rampart. I come over from Rampart over the mountains and dropped down to the Tanna River. And I had.
You sure made it in 1903, and there wasn't much there then.
And I had a hand sleigh, and I was licking it. And there was another fellow come along. He was in Lincoln and Hansley too. But we had grub and we had to eat, you know. And lots of rabbits, you could snare a rabbit and they had to eat. But we come along and he says, "Say, Ben," he says, "what's the use of hauling two sleighs? We could put all this on my sleigh and throw the other sled ahead," which we did. We come up the Tanna River. with a rope around our neck, and he was one of us at the back of the handlebars and shoved them. We came up pretty good.
What was his name?
A few days we were right at Chino. Chino was on the river down there below the slough, the mouth of the slough, and Chino was the town. Everyone built logs and they were hauling all the way across the river. It was pretty wide there. And of course, I had a I bought a horse, came in from Dalton, and a double ender. And the town was going to Chino. And I said, well, I buy the horse from him because he didn't have no money to feed him. And I went out on a lake behind Chino. That's down at Lantana River on the north side. And the lake was around in there, 20 acres or more. And there was just a wild grass that grew all along the edge of the lake. And the lake dried down. Right, and they left us here wild grass, you know, and there was quite a bit of green stuff in it. And I bought this horse on a fellow that came in from Dawson. And I went out on this lake. It's about a half a mile back of Chino, down at the Tenno River. And I got... I broke off all the grass I could close to the ice, but I had to have a scoop shovel, so I would just take the scoop shovel and slide it under the snow, and it cut this grass off at the ice, you know, back of, you know. And then I fixed me up a fork, and I take this hay out, and I got this horse, you know, for very little money, because it was a pretty good pony. And I saved this hay up and fed it because all the horses that come in there, they died all from starvation and some of them sat to shoot them. And I got this pony, you know, if I had bought some of the good horses, but I just got this pony. And it was a good little thing, you know. When I come into Chino, this man sold me the pony, the harness and double ender was with it, and everybody down at Chino wanted logs for to make the town there, and there were no logs on that side of the river towards Fairbanks, but across the river was about a 3/4 mile, pretty wide delta, you know.
Yes.
So I went over there to cut trees down and haul them over for, $1 a log. I got for him. I went down to supposed to be pretty good money, you know, a log was a little bigger than a pipe. Maybe some 50 feet long or something like that. They were building the logs into the Chino town. And it was growing.
Ben, speaking of feeding that horse, reminds me of something. A very good friend of yours told me that once you got kind of hard up on horse feed, I think maybe that's later when you were teaming up out of Tullavanna, and that you fed your horses dried rabbits. Is there any truth in that?
Oh, no. Never such a thing ever happened. A horse would eat meat, man, anyway. Oh, no.
Well, what did you know, Ben?
Some people can think of a little funny.
That's a good story.
Maybe they just thought there was a little joke in that, but I never.
What a heart, man.
You know, I even had one of them sickles. And I took the sickles and I run it under the snow right on the ice like that. Finally, I got a hold of a man that had the side, and I fixed up a handle on it. And I was running the side under the right on the ice like that. And I was cutting the grass off right at the ice.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, every on the meadows, you know, on the lake, or the what you call any little lake, headwater lake, you could get all that grass and grow about that high. It was all dried and dressed, but down near the ice, it was. A lot of green that had just sprouted through and
quick freeze.
And I cut, and I got a scythe. I don't know where I got it from, but I got a scythe and fixed a snout to it, and I was cut my hay off of that ice, right down close to the ice, and I had a fork to shake it out, to shake the snow out of it and put it up in little stacks. I fed my horse and kept him alive, and nobody could save the horse. They all starved, you know.
Ben, when did you first come over to Loudonwood?
To Loudonwood?
Yeah.
Gosh, Carla.
Must have been about 16, yeah, wasn't it?
Take me some time before I could just remember. I might not tell you the exact. But what, don't you know when Loudonwood was first struck by?
Well, actually 15, but 16 before people were coming in.
I was out. I was right.
You must have been here right at 16.
I should have been at Loudonwood when I passed on into the Beaver.
Well, you were in then before Jay and Teddy had really made the discovery here. Was that right?
I was in. I crossed Loudonwood country.
You told me you were prospecting through here. That's right.
I prospected Beaver, and that's all.
You went over from Wickersham Dome over through Beaver, or did you come up this way?
I came across from Fairbanks, right pretty near the way the trail comes.
Almost, yeah.
And I went to the east, and I got into the Beaver.
Did you go over Tatalina Ridge to the east then, or?
Then I came over that ridge. I came over that range. And I took to more direction towards Circle, and I was a long ways from, the other side of the Beaver Valley.
Ben, that had to be about 1915 or even 14. All the rest of the time you had stayed in Fairbanks, had you? In the Fairbanks
well,
district.
Well, I was in Fairbanks in 1903.
I know, but you stayed there until about 1914 in that district.
No, I came out the first summer with an old-time Dawson man, and we prospected into the Beavers.
Oh.
Oh, we went all through that. We was even in...
As early as that?
We were even on this side of the big range in there. You ever been over there?
No, I have been, but the easy
well,
way.
Well, it's the same range that the head of Chattanooga had in there. Well, we were away this way about 40 miles or long. I was almost into the Tolumana tributaries. I'd washed down in it. Tributaries come down the Tolumana, but I was at between in that range that heads all around.
Well, that was long.
Fisher Creek, probably.
That was long before any discovery here. But
there was nobody in the country then.
But after the Loudonwood stampede, you came in about the very first time.
Oh, I came away last. I wasn't interested in this.
You
I
wasn't interested. You couldn't believe it, though.
I wasn't in the rest of Loudonwood because I thought I'd been in the facility, and it was not in Loudonwood. The Loudonwood is on this side of the watershed that divides that and the Beaver, or what do you call it? The Beaver River is a Beaver River running out. It's got a whole
Birch Creek and
Chattanooga and Birch Creek and all the rest of them.
Well, Chattanooga runs one way and Birch runs down the other.
You know the watersheds all around in a vicinity like in this mining camp from here to Fairbanks. Watersheds is running towards the Tannanoa at Fairbanks. And now when you come away the side of the, and you go over into the, come up on the divide of the Chattanooga River's a long stream. Towards the Yukon, it's the north watershed. Now, that watershed is divided between there and the Beaver watershed is another big basin, and a lot of tributaries coming off are these Tolumana waters. There's just Turkle and Fairbanks, and the Tolumana.
Circle, Fairbanks, and Tolumana.
There's three watersheds. They go watersheds of this Tolumana run down here now. But when you go over that divide over that top, at the head of this Chattanooga, you're going into Beaver waters, going that way. And if you go towards Fairbanks, you'll be into the Tannanoa waters. I've been around them all. I've been all over them. You can't fool me. I know even just like a book.
Well, Ben, what? You used to team out of Tolumana into Loudonwood, didn't you?
What?
Didn't you,
what did you
haul freight with teams from Tolumana or from Dunbar to Loudonwood?
I did haul with my team, yes. Yeah.
But you'd already been over here mining by then, too, weren't you?
Well, I was over here. I was first interested in this here creek right here.
Lillian.
It was not mine, it was belonged to, I was only a layman. I paid 25% royalty. I took out about $26,000 down on this claim here, and I also thought there was more money, and that's why I sort of buy in on it. And it's not, I never heard of it, doesn't pay very good. But Rooswick over there, I opened that quick myself. Rooswick is a short quick, but had coach school in it. And the next quick I sticked up in Fair, I discovered the pay on Wilbur quick up there. I really discovered the pay on Rooswick. I was up there, but it was staked, you know, and the owners were Hudson and Livegood, they had these claims here staked all, and I didn't get in on a choice claim, but I knew there was the upper part of the creek hadn't been taken. I always take the middle part of the creek over there from there down to George Creek. But I got the pay, I found the pay there. They didn't find the pay there. I was up there because of looking for ground that I couldn't stake their ground, and I had to find the pay there.
Yeah.
Then I got a hold down on some pay. It was not very good. But the lower part of the creek is...
Did you shovel in most of the time, or did you use a nozzle? Did you hand shovel?
Oh, Ben, you...
I can hear you.
Ben did a little ground sluicing like everyone else, but Ben primarily used a nozzle. Ben considers he's a pretty good nozzle man. You should ask him.
There's nothing to be a hydraulic man, you know. It's just to be able to set up your... plant and know how to move as most ground you can with water. I can move more ground. I can move faster, and I can open a hole cut quicker than anybody else ever done it for me, because I just had the experience that I build a big reservoir. I put a bank up and back water out. And the thing is, if you do that, just you bank the water back up and dam it and make a big reservoir of water. Then you want to be sure you make a great big wide gate as big as that door or something. And you put a center log in that you nail this here to, and it that center log has to be in a frame of timber or hewed out with a axe. And it has got to have 2/3 from the axle and 1/3 below. Now, when the water raises in the dam inside like this to fill the house up, and it raises up till the axle, is water comes above the axle and comes up 2/3 what is below the axle. It's going to flop over on that and work automatically.
That's his automatic dam.
Can't fool Mother Nature.
But I have a better dam. I've made a better dam by a box gate. I'll tell you how that's for a big flood. If you want to use an automatic gate that opens with a flop, you'd have the door built into the opening, like that door there, for instance, and it would go over and back this way. And I had an axle in there, I'd have it 1/3 from the top, from the bottom up. 1/3. And when the water comes in the dam and backs up like this house, would build it up, and it would get up 2/3 above the axle, it would knock it down over on a hinge. You get that? That's an automatic dam, but I could build a different one than that. But that's my first. I wasn't the one that discovered that. I think somebody told me about it.
What was your most exciting experience while you were mining? What would you say was your most exciting experience that happened to you?
I don't know.
What's the biggest pan you ever got?
The biggest dam?
Biggest pan.
Oh, My God, I never found a big pan in my life. For
all the people. Oh, come on, Ben, you've had $10 pans.
If it ever been like Dawson, I'd have been rich. I'd been rich for all those days. But the only way that I could make a big system of money, you have to use a big body of water and let it go with a big dump. And you'll knock all the pieces, all the stumps and everything, and everything will go away. And you can maybe, when you get a big cut washed out, it'll be going down to bedrock. Well, now you've got to get that wider in order to get the gold, because the gold's all down underneath. It's all down underneath, maybe 3 or 4 inches to a foot.
Man, you had some nice, pretty cleanups on Wilbur Creek, though. You had the prettiest gold in the country. Now, that must have been a good experience. I can recall coming in and looking at you working on cleanups, cleaning gold, that beautiful Wilbur Creek gold, nice jewelry gold. Remember that?
Yes.
That was probably some pretty
Wilbur
big
Creek
experience.
Was really nice gold.
Close to the source.
It's quite good coarse gold, but spotted.
But you know something else? I asked you when you first came to Livengood, and I don't believe that you told me that, Ben. I was trying to find when you first came in and what brought you back into Livengood. I mean, after Livengood was discovered. After Livengood was discovered. How soon were you here then, Ben?
After Livengood was discovered.
17, 18?
Oh, my goodness, I can't kind of think of it, but I know I was soon over here because I knew there was prospects over here, and I worked all through the Beaver and on this side of the range. But there's no gold way up the head of this here range. But I came on down, and I was just about to Wilbur Creek when I started home.
But when you came in here, though, finally, and then settled in this country, did you come in through Dunbar? Or did you come across
the same way,
no. And Sue Tatalina and all? Yeah.
Yes.
And you don't remember what year that was, though?
I come just about
that's
the same
history.
Way that the road is.
Well, but you don't remember what year that was, Ben.
Well, I